Okay. Hello and good morning to everyone. When I suggested this talk, Phoebus D, in a complex environment in spring, I have to say I didn't really believe that it would be accepted. But when I got the positive feedback some time ago, I was very pleased. In the next minutes, I want to tell you a little bit about our computer center and about the things we do with FreeBSD, about our experiences, and maybe a little bit of our wishes, what should happen to FreeBSD. The contents of my talk, in a little bit more detail, you can see here. First, I will tell you a little bit about GWDG, the name of the company in a short abbreviation form. I'll tell you a little bit about our computer center, about the technical concepts we use, and then I will tell you a little bit about the server operating systems we use and why we use them. And then the point will be our experiences with FreeBSD and where we see advantages and disadvantages of FreeBSD. My name is Konrad Theuer, and the Gesellschaft für wissenschaftliche Datenverarbeitung MBH Göttingen, the full name of the company, is the computer center of the University of Göttingen and of the Max Planck Society, with a 50% to 50% budget. Göttingen is located nearly in the center of Germany, and in the first years after World War II, the headquarters of the Max Planck Society was in Göttingen too. Today it's in Munich, but there are still 5 research institutes in or nearby Göttingen. And thus, the Max Planck Society and the university founded a common and shared computer center in 1970. GWDG will have its 40th anniversary next year, and we are about 70 employees. In 40 years of history, you have a history with different operating systems. I mentioned a lot of operating systems here. I will not go into detail in this moment because I fear that my time will slip away. Of course, a lot of systems mentioned here are historic from the point of view of today. Okay, a few words about me. I started learning Unix in 1985 on a small desktop system. It was a Fortune 3216 with 3 terminals attached. Of course, I never finished learning Unix. Who does? I came in contact with BSD in 1986. I studied physics, and at that time I had to compile and edit and run some Fortran 77 code, and I did it on PCS, CatMUS, and SunOS workstations. And I learned about FreeBSD in 1994 with 2 releases. At that time, I was already a system administrator. Okay. That's a little bit more interesting, this slide, because I will try to illustrate you or to introduce to you the main technical concepts of our computer center. During the last years, we had a tendency of some re-centralization from the institutes in the university to the computer center. That's mainly because of storage. We have many applications that need a lot of storage, and thus, we have a couple of disk and weight arrays and storage systems in the computer center. I don't know the capacity exactly in the moment, but I guess it's more than 1 petabyte. And we have a lot of servers, Windows and Unix servers, attached to this central storage by storage area network. I've tried to symbolize the storage area network by blue lines, which are fiber channel connections in my notation here, whereas the red lines indicate traditional Ethernet cable. Okay, as I said, we have about 130 Unix or Windows servers connected to the storage area network. One very important task of the computing center is centralized backup. We use the IBM Tivoli Storage Manager for backing up. Backup is done by the, over the network, and we have a lot of clients in the university and the Max Planck Institutes, and of course in the computer center itself. FreeBSD can work with the Tivoli Storage Manager because there's a Linux client. There's no native support for FreeBSD by IBM, but I use the Linux client for backing up FreeBSD system. The main trick is just to create an etc mtap file because the Tivoli Storage Manager client software needs such a file. But then it works fine. No problem here. On the left-hand side, you see the directory services for user management and different other tasks, especially mail management. We have a very large Active Directory system with about 5,000 Windows workstations integrated in, and a lot of servers and a lot of users. We have OpenLDAP for the Unix side of life. And OpenLDAP is our leading directory service. All the user management is primarily done with OpenLDAP. OpenLDAP runs on FreeBSD in GWDG. And we have a novel eDirectory, which acts as a meta directory and synchronizes between OpenLDAP and the Active Directory where necessary. Especially all the user entries have to be synchronized. With a large amount of mass storage and many needs for mass storage, you have the need to manage storage effectively. And we decided for a software called IP Store. The vendor is Falcon Store. The IP Store software. IP Store software provides something we call storage virtualization. This figure is a little bit simplified, of course, because we have a whole storage area network with a lot of fiber channel switches and so on. But I try to symbolize here it with the blue lines for fiber channel connections. The IP Store servers provide to the Unix or Windows servers SCSI logical unit numbers or virtual disks. Our application or file servers just see SCSI logical units numbers, just see virtual disks, and the IP Store software maps these disks to the real storage systems, the RAID arrays and disk arrays we have. Each server, each storage system has two paths for redundancy, of course, and the IP Store servers are form a cluster which is in cold standby mode, so each of the servers can take over the job and provide all the services to the application servers or file servers if anything fails on one server or if one path or one fiber channel switch fails. And here we have FreeBSD systems too, and we have good experiences with the GeoFox driver, which provides multipathing for FreeBSD. GeoFox does not do any load balancing between the two paths, as other operating systems do, but GeoFox is good for redundancy. We have had many tests and serious situations where we saw that GeoFox allows the system to continue with processing if one of the two paths fail. Very important for us is a store next file system. It's a SAN file system. The very interesting thing about store next is that you can concurrently access it by different clients. We have our virtual disk drives provided by the storage virtualization. Each disk drive contains a file system. The file systems are controlled by metadata controllers. You need LS2 for redundancy, of course. If one fails, the other one has to do the whole job. And the clients are connected to the disk drives by fiber channel connections, of course, and to the metadata controllers by classical or standard Ethernet, but in a private IP network. And the metadata controllers synchronize and control access to all the file systems which are accessed concurrently by the clients. Most of our clients are file servers, indicated here by the term NFS server, but we have also some direct application servers connected to the StoreNext file system. StoreNext is sold by Quantum. Formerly it was called CenterVision file system. It was sold by EDIC. And it supports a lot different operating system, a lot of operating systems. Support is there for Linux, OS X, Windows, IRIX, Solaris, HP, UX, but regrettable, not for FreeBSD. And that's a problem for us. Last year, we had a meeting with Quantum people, and we asked for FreeBSD support, and they told us that they dropped it because no one bought it. But we would like to buy it if it would be available. There's also Windows support for the StoreNext file system, and what we want to do in the next years is that we have one file store for all the operating systems, especially for Windows and Unix. And I think it's very interesting and would be nice if FreeBSD could take part here. In the moment, we can FreeBSD find only here on the right-hand side as NFS client, acting as an NFS client. And the NFS servers here run with Linux or OS X. In the moment, we have no experience, I have to say, with Windows and the StoreNext file system. We didn't try it, but we want to try it, as I said, in the next month. Okay. A little bit about our server operating systems and which system we use for what purpose. Because of the Tivoli Storage Manager, we need AIX. TSM runs on AIX from IBM. We have macOS 10 for NFS as a StoreNext client. I have to say, Apple sells the StoreNext file system by itself under the name XZAN. XZAN is StoreNext, and we bought it from Apple and have an OS 10 server as acting as NFS server. We have Solaris for some special purpose applications which need Solaris. Of course, we have a lot of Windows servers for the Active Directory service, for Novell Directory service, for file service using SIFS protocol, for terminal server, and I forgot to mention it on the slide for Exchange, since we have a large Exchange mailing system. Linux is used for mailing service too. Also for FTP, we have a very popular FTP server in the Linux world, but also in the FreeBSD world. ftp2.de.freebsd.org is our FTP server. We have hundreds of computing nodes running on the Linux for grid computing and parallel computing. Web services run with Linux, IP store, storage virtualization, NFS service, and shell service with SSH login. FreeBSD is used for SIFS service using Samba software, network news, open LDAP service, printing, and shell service using SSH. In 1997, it was my task to move the central print service of the computer center from VEX VMS to Unix system. I decided for FreeBSD, and I have to say I'm very happy with this decision because our print service is relatively complex. We have something like print accounting, print quota, like printer virtualization. So our print service has to do a lot of tasks on the server itself, and thus I wrote a lot of code. that works fine with a BSD printing subsystem, and I'm very happy that FreeBSD still comes with traditional BSD printing and didn't switch to anything else like CUPS or LPRNG, as many Linux distributions did. So I see an advantage of FreeBSD to be a little bit conservative and cautious with changes of important subsystems. Some years ago, I had a hard stand with FreeBSD because colleagues of mine said, we have Linux. Linux can do anything we want. Why should we use FreeBSD additionally? But in the last years, the situation changed. As you have saw, NFS plays a great role in our environment, and FreeBSD has a solid NFS client performance. We are see FreeBSD behaves sufficient here, and thus the shell login service on FreeBSD has gained popularity because of its performance and stability. Very interesting are tools like Port Upgrade. I know there are similar tools. I use Port Upgrade to update the application software, and that's very interesting too for login service to have up-to-date application software. As far as I know, the Linux runtime environment is 32-bit still, and there's no 64-bit runtime environment for Linux application. And that's a little bit a problem, since we have a lot of database applications that need more virtual address space than 2 GB. And I would like to have a 64-bit Linux runtime environment and 64-bit FreeBSD. In an NFS-centered environment, we have a lot of problems with NFS locking, but I guess that's not a FreeBSD-specific problem. We have those problems with other operating systems, too. NFS locking, NFS lock manager is not working sufficiently. As already said, Samba SIF service runs on FreeBSD. I will show you some performance measurements in the next slide. We have read performance between 4 and 20 megabytes per second for the whole system, and that's a good result. I will explain a little bit later. Our Samba servers are integrated as NT-like domain member servers in the Active Directory, of course. And may I have the time to explain? Yes. But there are some problems with Samba software we experience. Last year, we moved the printing support for Windows clients from a Windows server to the FreeBSD server with Samba, and suddenly a lot of people had difficulties to print for them from their Windows desktop systems, large delays in printing, and we had to learn that in the Microsoft world of printing, the server connects back to the client to TCP port 445 or 139, to the IPC dollar share of the client. And the Windows systems have to open their firewalls for the print server. Otherwise, you have a lot of delays because the server has to wait for timeouts. And as you can guess, the first reaction people say, we need our Windows server back. We can do printing with FreeBSD. It doesn't work. And you have to find out the reason why problems occur and have to find the solutions. Okay, this slide shows the result of the performance measurements we did. This is read performance from FreeBSD SIF service, but of course it's not FreeBSD SIF service alone, but the whole thing, the whole chain of services that provide the service, starting from the RAID systems, through the storage area network, through storage virtualization, through store next file system, and OS X NFS service, FreeBSD NFS client, and then FreeBSD SIF service. You see here the time period of 4 weeks in the horizontal direction. There are 28 days, 4 weeks of time, and in the vertical direction, 24 hours per day. And bandwidth, I measured, is coded by colors. The brighter the colors, the higher the bandwidth, the darker the colors, the lower. Maximum values are about 20 megabytes per second. Minimum values a little bit lower than 5 megabytes per second. And what we can see here is that most time of the day, read performance is up, is very good. It's higher than what you can expect from fast Ethernet network connections, and that's because most of the desktop, or all of the desktop systems have nothing better than fast Ethernet, which means 12 megabytes per second. We can say that the service behaves well. The client can get the bandwidth it can expect. But of course, there are times, especially during lunchtime or in the night, early morning hours, where performance is not so good. Probably here in the early morning hours, because in parallel, TSM backup of the StorNX file system runs here. And in lunchtime, there are also some systems doing the TSM backup. But furthermore, a lot of Windows systems do their daily antivirus checks also in lunchtime, also the Windows servers. And because of the interactions in our storage network and interactions because of shared usage of disk arrays, you have here, or you can observe an effect here, that read performance drops down. That's because of load on the disk systems. Okay, as I already told you, OpenLDAP runs on FreeBSD, a GWDG. I think it's the most important server application for us running on FreeBSD, since it contains our user database and our mailing system relies on OpenLDAP. And things could be better here, but as far as I see, it has nothing to do with FreeBSD, but with OpenLDAP itself. We have a lot of stability problems, and I would like to hear from you what your experience with OpenLDAP are. The first thing I learned, what I had to do is to write a script periodically run by cron every 5 minutes, and this script has to check, does the LDAP server run? Does the slutd run? Does it respond? If it doesn't respond, kill it. If it doesn't run, start it. And on our LDAP server, the highest load, I have to restart the service several times a day. It's a very bad situation. Yes, the Linux TSM client, I still use an older version, version 5.1, with polling policy because of security implications. Works adequate with FreeBSD. You just have to create an etc mtap file. If you don't do, of course, it won't run. Last year, we introduced Cisco firewall modules between our class C subnets. We have a class B network and class C subnets. And when the Cisco firewall modules were powered on or switched on, we observed a drastic bandwidth broke down between FreeBSD system located in different subnets. And it was a hard stand for me because Linux to Linux or Windows to Windows connections or FreeBSD to Linux connection didn't suffer so much. As we found out, the firewall mixed up TCP packets, and this caused timing problems when both communication partners were FreeBSD. Luckily, Cisco provided a bug fix some months later, and after the bug fix was applied, the situation relaxed. And we still have a lot of subtype problems with the Cisco firewall modules, and we powered it off for one subnet in the last weeks because there are still problems that servers respond from time to time. They don't respond to client requests, and we don't know why. TCP dumps or network sniffing tools don't give us any hint why this happens. The situation typically is the client requests data from the server acknowledges that it got the request, but but it doesn't provide data. The client waits or fails or whatever. very bad situation. Okay, multipathing with GeomFox is sufficient for all purposes. That's fine. And it works with IP.